Today's daf is Menachos daf Samach Beis. We left off on the bottom of daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. We are at Tanya Idach, five lines before the end of the page. And we were in the middle of the sugya of Tenufa, discussing the requirement of waving the karban or parts of the karban, and that the entire daf today is going to continue and conclude, actually, the sugya of Tenufa. We're going to discuss when you have to wave a number of different parts of the karban, what do you put on top, what do you put on the bottom, how exactly do you do the Tenufa. We're going to have four different opinions, how to wave the Shtei Alechem and the Kifsei Atzeres together, how do you position them, where does the Shtei Alechem go in relation to the Kifsei Atzeres, and we're going to discuss what the Tenufa represents, what the meaning of the Tenufa is, and whether a person should have in mind that he's when you have a similar halacha by Lulav, that he's going against the Satan. And then we're going to have a machlokas whether the Kifsei Atzeres are waved in their entirety or only the Chaz of Ashok after Shechita. Do you take the entire animal or just the Chaz of Ashok? We're going to have three explanations of what's behind that machlokas, what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is. And then the Gemara is going to attempt, we had at the end of the Mishnah, after we finished discussing Tenufa, we had said that there are three separate karbanos that have three separate halachos, except none of those three karbanos have all three of those halachos. Each of them have two out of the three, but each one is missing a different one of those halachos. So the Gemara is going to try to show that maybe each of those three separate karbanos should have all three halachos based on a kal v'chomer, and we're going to reject them, and we're going to show why no, they don't have all three of those halachos, they only have one of those halachos. And at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about how we handle tenufa if the bailim is unable to do tenufa. What does it mean, unable to do tenufa? Well, either the bailim is a woman, and a woman's a chayiv in tenufa, or the bailim is b'medina siyam, and they were shaleach korbanoseim, they sent their korban, so they're not there to do tenufa. So how do we handle tenufa in such a case? So let's begin five lines from the bottom of the page. Tanya Idach. B'nei Yisrael, Eli al B'nei Yisrael, Ger, Mavadim Meshuchar Minayin. I would only know that B'nei Yisrael do Tenufa. How do I know that a Ger, that a Nefer Meshuchar, also requires Tenufa? Tamalomar Hamakriv, whoever the Makriv might be, including Gerim and Avadim Meshucharim. Well, is that what Hamakriv comes to teach me? O'enu Elazeh. Kohen HaMakrif. Maybe HaMakrif has nothing to do with the Bailam at all. Remember, Tenufa is not only a requirement on the Bailam, it's a requirement of the Kohen as well. So maybe HaMakrif means the one who's practically doing the Hakrava, which is the Kohen. Kshomer Yadav Tevyena Hare Bailam Amur. And if HaMakrif is a reference to the Kohen, then Yadav Tevyena is a reference to the Bailam. So either way, there's a Riboy to tell me that whoever the Bailam is, even if it's Avadim, even if it's Avadim Shcharim, even if it's Gerim, they would still do the Tenufa. Okay, Tzatzah, how do you have both the Bailim and the Kohen doing the Tenufa? Kohen meniach tachas yidei ha-Bailim u'meinif, that the Kohen and the Bailim do it simultaneously, because the Kohen puts his hands underneath the Yad HaBailim and they are meinif together. So Ketzat Osa, says the Brisa further, how would they do this? Now, the first half of the Brisa was about who was doing the Tenufa, the Kohen, the Bailim, so you'd expect Ketzat Osa to be something related to that. It's not at all. Ketzat Osa is a totally separate issue. When you're waving different parts of the carbon, what do you put on top, what do you put on the bottom, how do you sand which it exactly. So maniach emurin al pisas hayad, v'chazav ashok aleihen, the emurin go directly on the hand, chazav ashok on top of the emurim, u'b'kol mokam sheish lechem, and if your carbon happens to have lechem associated with it, halechem milamailu, you put the lechem all the way on top. So you stack it in that way. That's what the Brisa is discussing when it talks about Ketzat Osa. How exactly do you stack it? Heicha, and where do we have what? Says Rashi, Ashchan Lechem, the Lechem Lemaila. We just said this halacha, that when there is Lechem in the carbon, and you're going to have to do Tenufa, put the Lechem on top. Where do we have such a carbon that has Lechem, that the Lechem goes on the top? Samar of Papa, B'miluim. We find such a thing by the Miluim, which Rashi points out, the Chsiv, Pasuk says, So you see that by the Miluim we have Lechem, and the Lechem goes on top by the Miluim, so it goes on top over here as well. The Briska Rav already points out in the Chidushim, the stencil, what the Shaychus is between the first part of the Brisa and the second part of the Brisa. He explains that the din of how to position everything at the time of the Tenufa is not a din in the Tenufa. It's a din in biyad habaylim, that there is a halacha that it's got to be biyad habaylim. So when it's biyad habaylim, how do you stack it biyad habaylim? So memela, this din is shaykh only to the baylim who has this additional halacha called hanacha biyadav. There is no din by the kohen that you need hanacha biyadav. The kohen has a din of tenufa. The baylim also has a din of tenufa, but the baylim has this additional din called biyad habaylim. And the Gemara is discussing, once we said, oh, that the baylim are involved, the kohen is involved. Okay, so we see that the baylim have yadav, that we have such a din. We just said yadav to Vienna, hared baylim amur, that there's a din of yadav by the baylim, that it's got to be biyad habaylim. And we're elaborating on that halacha. He says, that's why the Rambam writes in the ninth parak of Hilchos, Maisar Korbanos, Ketzad manichan al yedei habaylim. I would have said ketzad manifan. Right? The Mishnah just says, the Bryce says ketzad osa. That's the first two words on the Amud. Ketzad osa. But the Rambam says it differently. Ketzad manichan al yedei habaylim. How do we position it on the yedei habaylim? Sounds like this is a din in the yad habaylim. That's how the Brisker Rav explains the shaychus between the first half of the Bryce and the second half of the Bryce. So anyway, says the Gemara further now, three lines from the top. My taima. Why is it that we position in this way, say ilim mishum duchsiv show katruma v'chazei atnufa al ishei achalavim yavi ilan of tenufa. Well, it says the chazei and show go al the chaylev. It goes on top of the fat, and that's why we said the emurim go on the bottom, the fats go on the bottom, and the chazei v'shok on top of them. But v'aksiv, we also have a pasuk that says es achaylev al achazeh yivianu, that the chaylev goes on top of the chazeh. So it's a stir in the psukim. No, when we say that the chaylev goes on the chazah, that just means that the kohen, that when the kohen brings it from the Beis HaMitbachayim, where they would dissect the animal, they would take apart the pieces of the animal, that's how the kohen would bring it. But when he'd actually put it in the hands of the Bailim, he flipped it over to hand it off to the Bailim. But it says that the chaylev goes on top of the fat. That's afterwards, when after they did the tenufa, they'd have to give it to a kohen. The baylim would have to give it to a kohen, who would then go and burn it. So when you'd give it to a kohen, you'd flip it back over. So each time it was handed off, it was flipped over. And the chiddush of all of these psukim, when you look at it all together, is teaching me to be in on shlosha kohanim, that you need three separate kohanim. Mishum dechsev baravam hadras melech. And three separate kohanim is a kiyum of baravam hadras melech. The Cheshek Shlomo points out that in Maseches Yuma, there's a machlokas tonight whether we say Bravam Hadras Melech in the Mikdash. Maybe in the Mikdash you shouldn't say Bravam Hadras Melech because it's tacky to get a whole bunch of different people involved. This one's going to do that. That's not proper cover of the Mikdash, B'makom Shechina, to get so many people, everyone doing just a bit piece. So the Cheshek Shlomo asks, why is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who disagrees over there and says that you don't say Bravam Hadras Melech in the Mikdash, say over, not disagree over here? So he says it could be that on Yom Tovim, where all the Mishmaros were equal, it's better to divide the Avodah amongst many Kohanim, even according to the Shita, that in general we shy away from Bravam Hadras Melech in the Mikdash. Tosus Maseches Yuma discusses a different time where we very clearly say Bravam Hadras Melech in the Mikdash, and that's by the Korban Pesach. How do we get the dam from where it's first caught in the cup to the Mizbeach? So they have a whole line of Kohanim. This one passes to the next one, to the next one, to the next. Bravam Hadras Melech, very clearly a fulfillment of Bravam Hadras Melech. So Tosfos in Maseches Yuma says, yeah, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree with that one, because over there it's not, no one is giving up the mitzvah, because the second you pass one cup of dam, you're getting the next one. So the reason we wouldn't say Bravam Hadras Melech in the Mikdash is that once you're doing the Avodah, you should stay in the Avodah. You shouldn't, but over there you are, because you're getting the next cup right away. So it's, in general, the notion of Baravam Hadras Melech comes up in a whole bunch of different places. The Or Zeruah in Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Tes Vav, quotes that someone wanted to have a taina on the minag that is universal, I think, and almost in every shul, that when the chazan goes to get the Sefer Torah, they have someone else open the aron and hand him the Sefer Torah. It's his job. He's the shliach tzibur. Why do you have someone else going and taking the Sefer Torah? So this person had a taina. Why should you do that? It should be the job of the shliach tzibur. So the Or Zeruah said, not a taina at all. Adrabah, Ravam Hadras Melech. We dafka have another person do it in order to fulfill Ravam. And he says, and he thinks that's the minhag pretty much in every shul, that you have one person will daven Shachris, another person will lein, and another person will daven Muslim. What do you mean? Let the Shliach Tzibur be a Shliach Tzibur. Let him take everything. No, Beravam Hadras Melech, that we try to divide it up as much as possible. And that's what some of the posts can explain, the whole minhag by a bris milah, that we have a kvater. What do you mean kvater? Just bring the baby. Let the parent bring his child to the bris. Well, you can hand off the baby. And now they have to give a lot of kibbutim. Everyone knows 50 rabbis. So, may Allah kisei, this one, liyada, av, and they come up with all sorts of different kibbutim. So they're just handing the baby off from one to the other. So maybe you could argue that that's bravam hadras melech. It should be within reason. You shouldn't, you know, like there's so many handoffs, you're going to fumble eventually. But Ravam Hadras Melech is nogea to getting a lot of people involved in doing a mitzvah. On the flip side, the Rama writes in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph that there are places that they're knowing that the shatz, the shliach tzibur, is mispalel slichos during the days that we say slichos. Also, is mispalel lefnei ateva kol hayom. He gets all the other tefillos of the day. So Magen Avraham says, even the tefillos arvis that he should daven, he's entitled to all the tefillos of that day, because hamaschil b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. So in the Sefer Nezira Shimshon, he says that if it was shayich by a shliach tzibur, this klal of hamaschil b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar, why don't we say it throughout the whole rest of the year that whoever daven shachris should also daven mincha and mariv, that it should be the same guy? And no one does that. We always have a practice, I mean, unless someone is a chiv, but we always have a practice of giving it out to different people. In the Tshuvas Binyan Shlomo, in Siman Lamed Zayin, he also asks on the Magen Avraham, that Adraba, our sugya sounds like, for Rav Hamadrash Melech, better to split it up, that's the greater Kavod Shemayim. So why is it all of a sudden by Slichos? It's different. So Binyan Shlomo suggests that Slichos is different because it used to be very difficult to get somebody to agree to lead Slichos because it wasn't considered a great kibbut. So you had to bribe him a little bit. So how do you bribe him? Right? Every Gabbai can tell you that to get anyone to daven Shachris, Mincha, Musaf, easy. Everyone's always jumping. But Slichos was a challenge. So you had to bribe people with the ability to daven the other two the Sayyum as well. So he says he's not sure if that's no Gaya Bizman Azeh, because it used to be that the person who said Slichos was Motzi everybody and said the entire tefillah out loud to be Motzi everybody, and maybe that's why it was hard to get people to do it, because, you know, pronouncing those words. But now you're just reading the last line anyway, so no one hears you say the rest of it, so it's very easy to find people who are willing to read the last line. That's what the Binyan Shlomo suggests. So Salvechik had an entirely different understanding of that halach. He thought in that halacha that the Magen Avraham has, the Rama has, that the guy who says Slichos says the Tefillos Yom is to try to show the role of Slichos. That Slichos is not like an independent tefillah. That, oh, if I only have time for one tefillah today, what should I do? Should I do Shachar? Should I do Mincha? Should I do Slichos? No, it's not an independent tefillah. It's sort of there to help the other Tefillos Hayom. It's an aid to the other Tefillos Hayom. And the way we demonstrate that is by saying, look, it's the same Shliach Tzibur who's doing Slichos and doing the other Tefillos Yom. He says a similar thing, or Salvation says a similar thing by Ni'ila, that Ni'ila is an aid to the other Tefillos Yom. So very often a person in Yom Kippur decides, I can only make it for one Tefillah. A person in Nebuchadnezzar is weak, is pregnant, whatever, so they're only going to make it to one Tefillah. So very often they say, okay, I'll make it to Ni'ila, because that's the most uplifting, it's so energetic, or whatever, so you're going to make it to Ni'ila, it's so awe-inspiring, but it's probably not correct, as Salvation said, because the whole point of Ni'ila is that it's to be mekabel all of the other tefillos hayom. I mean, why is Ni'ila so powerful? It's because you've been in shul all day. That's why it's so powerful. It's because it's a build-up of everything you've been doing the whole rest of the day. So that's a little bit about. There's also a comment Chayei Adam has, just one last comment about Rav Hamadras Melech, that any mitzvah that you're able to do b'chabura, you should do b'chabura, not b'yachid, because of Rav Hamadras Melech. And he quotes the Medrash that says that Eino Dome Merubim Osim Mitzvah L'Miyu. And so Chayei Adam says, okay, so what's the definition? How many is a Ravam? So he says, right from our Gemara, you see, three people is a Ravam, because we're getting three Kohanim involved in order to fulfill the Ravam Hadras Melech. So this comes up La Halacha, Bir Halacha discusses in Tav Chavav when it comes to Kiddush Levana, right? The Meikra Din, you're allowed to be Mekadesh Levana even be a Chidi. And you certainly don't need a minion for Kiddush Levana, but Lechadchila, we try to do it for Ravam Hadras Melech. So if you know that you're going to get a minion to do Kiddush Levana later, but right now you could do it, meaning let's say in a day or two, but right now you could do it alone, probably better to wait a little bit within reason. You don't want to wait so much that you run the risk of a cloudy night and then you'll miss Kiddush Levana entirely. They said Chafetz Chaim used to, when it was a cloudy night, he would stay up all night, roaming around all night, just waiting for the clouds to disperse for Kiddush Levana. A little bit different than our attitude toward Kiddush Levana typically. So the Mishabura writes that when it comes to Birchas HaPeros also, if someone is being motzi somebody else, and the other person hears the bracha mitchila atzof, it's a hidur to do it that way because of Bravam Hadras Melech. Oh, but the Mishabura implies that even two people is Bravam Hadras Melech, meaning pashtos is any number that you could make it bigger, that's Bravam Hadras Melech. Anytime you can have more people involved is Bravam Hadras Melech. That's actually Machlokas HaPoskim, I think, between the Mishabura and the Sfas Emes. Someone was asking me this on Sukkot, Ali Weisfeld's father was asking. He said he doesn't understand why it is that when in this community it seems that when someone's offered to make Kiddush, they don't say Kiddush, they just listen to the Balabais say Kiddush, because that's the Pesach of the Mishabura. Mishabura Bravam Hadras Melech. Better to have one person say Kiddush for everybody and be Yotzei with that way. Sfasemis is not that way, I think. I think Sfasemis says, no, mitzvah bo, Yosem Ribishlucho, better to do it yourself than to be Yotzei for someone else. Okay, Elu Ve'elu Devril Kimchayim, people have their own Mesorah. Okay, says the Gemara further now. V'shtei Alechem, V'shnei Kivsei Atzeres. And the Shtei Alechem and the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres have to be waived. Tan Rabban Vein, V'akoyin Osam, Al Lechem HaBikurim. So Yochli Niach Kvasim Al Gabe Alechem. You might think from there that the Kvasim go on top of the Lechem, that the animals go on top of the bread. Tamalomer al shnei kvasim. That's why the pasuk says al shnei kvasim. That no, it sounds like the lechem goes on the kvasim. Well, e al shnei kvasim yochel lechem al gabi kvasim. Well, then okay, that seems to be telling me that the bread goes on top of the kvasim. Tamalomer al lechem abikurim. No, it says al lechem abikurim, which makes it sound like the animals go on top of the bread. So mishtakel hakasuf. It seems that we have a battle over here between these two pesukim. Ven yodeh im lechem al gabi kvasim im kvasim al gabi lechem. We don't know what to do with these two psukim. And again, as we've seen many times, you hope to have a kosav ashlishi hamechriya b'neim, but we don't. There is no kosav ashlishi. We can't write a new pasuk. So what do you do when you have a stira between the two psukim? So says the Gemara, four possibilities. Number one, mamatina b'kol makom lechem l'mayla, afkan lechem l'mayla. We always have lechem l'mayla, so we hear also the lechem is l'mayla. Meaning, you have to decide which one is dafka, which one is lav dafka. So we look at the rest of kalatara kula. Hecha amra papa b'miluim. We find by the miluim that the lechem is l'mayla, so we hear also must be l'mayla. That's like a kasva shlishi, that there is a kasva shlishi. Not about this carbon per se, but about miluim, that's machriya. Rabbi Yosef ben Shlom omer, kvasim l'mayla. No, the kvasim go on top. Umani mekayim al shnei kvasim. What do I do with the fact that there's a pasuk that says that the lechem goes al shnei kvasim lahotzi shiva? The reason it says al shnei kvasim is to tell me that it's only the kivsei atzeres, the shnei kvasim, that require tenufa, but not the seven kvasim of the korban ola that you have to bring for the chovas hayom on shavuos. That does not enter this parsha of tenufa together with the shtei alechem. So that's just telling me an entirely separate din. So Chanina ben Chachinai omer, a third possibility. Chanina ben Chachinai says, "Maniach shtei alechem bein yarchosein shel kvasim umeinit." You put the shtei alechem between the thighs of the sheep, and you wave them in that way. V'nimtzum mekayim shneim across halalu, and this way you're in fulfillment of both psukim, lechem al gabei kvasim, kvasim al gabei alechem, because you've sandwiched. We put the bread in the middle of the sandwich, and you put the kvasim on the bottom and the top. So that's the way to do it. So a rabbi lefnei melech masav adam ein osam kein lefnei melech machem lachem akadosh baruch hu osam kein. It can't be that's going to be a kavod hamakom that you're going to have lechem in between the thighs of the animal. You would never serve a melech masav adam in such a way. So it can't be that you're going to serve akadosh baruch hu in such a way. Ella, fourth possibility, maniach ze b'tzad ze umeinif. Nothing goes on top of anything, which sounds like we're not fulfilling either of the psukim, right? It's just one right next to the other in Yemenith. So, frankly, Vabin and Al. One thing both psukim agreed is that there is an Al, that one is on top of the other. So you have to figure out which one is which, but to say that nobody goes, nothing goes on top of anything. This is Rebbe Lishitaso, because Rebbe holds that the word al means besamuch, it means nearby, it doesn't mean on top of. Where do we find that, Titania? You set up the lechem apanim on the shulchan, and then on the arrangement of the lechem apanim, you put the bezichei levona. Rebbe Omer al besamach, not on top of the lechem, near the lechem. Atomer al besamach al mamish. Are you sure? Maybe it means that you take these spoons of levona and you put them on the lechem. Now, kshomer v'sakosa ala aron esaparoches. When it says in the mikdash that you put the aron on the parochas, rather on the aron. They never put a parochas on the aron. The parochas was nearby to divide between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. So it wasn't on the aron. Haviomer al besamach. So you see very clearly that the word al does not mean on. The word al means besamach. Svasemes quotes his son, Rabbi Avram Mordechai, who asks the kasha that we do find that al means al mamish. Pasuk says, v'nasata al hashulchan, right, that you put the lechem al hashulchan, and that's mamish al hashulchan. Al haminori, you find several psukim like that. So in the Sefer Taras HaKodesh says that since misvara, it doesn't make sense that the bezichin would go on top of the bezichin levon would go on top of the lechem, because it would break the lechem. Lechem upon him was hard enough to make, but if it had to support weight also of the bezichin levon, that probably wouldn't work out so well. So al has to be besamach over there. What we're trying to show is not that the word al always means besamach, but that the word al can mean besamach. And since it can mean besamach, so maybe when we have a stira, what goes on top of what? It could be that this al is one of those besamuch als, and it's not an al that means literally on top of. Okay, two dots, third wide line, third medium sized line. Moluch maybe malu umorid. So we said, how would they do the tenufa? They would go forward and back and up and down. So amrav chia baraba, amrav yochran. Moluch maybe the misha rucho shalom, malu umorid misha shemayim va'aret shalom. Moluch maybe is for the one who's in charge of the ruchos. And Malu Marud also that Kodesh Baruch Hu is signifying that he controls Shemayim Va'aretz. The Marav Masnu Hachi Amar of Chan Baruch Amar of Yosef Rabbi Chanina Moluch maybe kidei latzor ruchos ra'os, that Moluch maybe is to stop ruchos ra'os. Malu Marud kidei latzor talolim raim, and Malu Marud is to stop talolim raim, meaning it's to avoid curse. It's not just to signify the Kodesh Baruch Hu's control over the entire world, but it's to avoid specific klalos. So yesterday we discussed if there's possibly a nafkamina between those two reasons. What the nafkamina might be, whether you need to go in all four directions plus up and down, because if it's latzar, if it's to stop a curse, you may want to hit every direction so you don't get cursed from any direction. But if it's just to express a Kodesh Baruch Hu's control over the world, so maybe just like he controls shtei ruchos, it's obvious that he controls arba ruchos as well. A possibility. Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Rav Avin Zosa Meres Shiari Mitzvah Ma'akvim Esaparanas. You see from here that even like a secondary element of a mitzvah, it's not part of the Ikar mitzvah, the tenufa, nevertheless it can hold back Paranas from coming, can prevent Paranas from coming. Da tenufa Shiari Mitzvah. Tenufa is just the Shirayim of a mitzvah. Vo'tzeres Ruchos Rolos V'talol Amrayim. And look what it's able to accomplish. Amar Rabba V'chein Lulav. And you have such a similar idea by Lulav. Ravach Breyakum Mamtila Maisi. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov used to like take his lulav and used to be very he used to point it out in as if he was fighting a battle, and he would say it's like arrows in the eyes of a satan. It's not a good idea to taunt the satan. If he's sleeping, let him sleep. We don't want to start up a fight with the satan. So we suggest maybe not doing that. Now there are a number of halachas relating to lulav that may be derived, that post can point out, that may be derived from this sugya. The Rishonim raised the question, if you do the tenufa of the lulav just like you do the tenufa of the korbanos. See, we don't use the word tenufa by lulav. It's interesting. We use the word tenufa by korbanos. By lulav, we call it na'anuim. Those sound like different things. Tenufa is waving, so you're just moving in this direction, that direction. Na'anuim means shaking. So what are you supposed to do with the lulav? Do you point it in one direction, do you actually shake it when you go in one direction or the other? So some of the Rishonim want to say, well, we learn from the Tanuf of the Karbanos, so maybe there's no Inyan of shaking. On the other hand, it seems pretty explicit in the Masechta Sukkah that there is an Inyan of shaking. What's the Shir Lulav? It's three Tefachim plus one extra Tefach, Kedei L'Naneabo. You can't wave it if it doesn't have that extra Tefach? No, it's that the leaves rattle a little bit, and it's more noticeable that the leaves are going to rattle. So some of the Rishonim say, it has to be able to be rattled, but you don't actually have to do it. But we're machmir, we try to do both. That when we wave the lulav, we wave it and shake it at the same time in order to fulfill the inyan of tenufa and the inyan of na'anua. A lot of people don't, people have different mesoras maybe, but people don't always know exactly how to do it. That's why I always found it interesting when we discuss how old the child has to be before he's chayv midin chinuch in lulav. So the Gemara says, katan hayodeya l'naneya. Now, in order to get the mitzvah of lulav, all you have to do is be magbiya the lulav. You pick it up, kivin da'agbe, nafakbe. The second you pick it up, you're ready yotze the mitzvah. How old of a katan is chayv in chinuch? Not when he knows how to pick it up. When he knows how to do the nanum, not so pashut how to do the nanum. A lot of the adults don't know how to do the nanum, so unclear what age a katan is really chayiv in the mitzvah. Okay, the Taz also writes another halach in Tafresh Nunal of Sifkat Yud Beis, brings a raya about the machlokas whether when you do the nanum of the lulav lamata, whether you have to point the lulav downwards or it's just good enough to bring your hands lower down. So the Taz says, you see from here, bring your hands lower down, because there's no way when they did the tenuf of the carbon that they flipped their hands over. We just went through how they only flipped it over when they were handing it off to the next guy, otherwise it would land on the floor. So the Taz says this is a raya to what I think is the common practice, that we only bring our hands down, we don't point the lulav we don't point the lulav down. As far as Gira Beina the Sitna, the Ritva says that the Ritva was bothered. How could he say Gira Beina the Sitna? This is an arrow in the eyes of the Satan. Isn't that a hefsik? He's in the middle of Hallel, and he's going to just start screaming out random phrases about the Satan. So he says it must be that he didn't do this during Hallel. But he said, so when did he do it? He said a brach on the lulav. He had the lulav in his hand, and then he said Gira Beina the Sitna. The Ritva says, but isn't that a hefsik between the brach and the mitzvah? So he points out, no, the halacha is, when it comes to bracha mitzvah, that if you say the bracha, begin the mitzvah, even if the mitzvah is ongoing, you're then allowed to continue. You're then allowed to talk. You're allowed to be mafsik as long as you started the mitzvah immediately after saying the bracha. So that's the ha'ara of the Ritva. Okay, first very wide line. Tan Rabbanan zivche shal mitzibur tunin tenufa la'achar shchita utenufasan kimos shehen. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds that the zivche shal mitzibur required tenufa after shchita, but while the animal is still whole. You don't do a tenufa of pieces of the animal, you do a tenufa of the animal. The chamom the chaz of shok. And the chamom say, no, just the chaz of shok of the animal gets tenufa. So you dissect it, and then you break it up into its different pieces, and then you do the tenufa with just the chaz of shok. So b'mayka mifli, what is the nukud samachlokas over here? So the Gemara is going to have three different explanations of what they're arguing about. Amale Rav Chista, Rav Nun, Rav Amale, Rav Nun, Rav Chista, bidon mina umina, bidon mina vu'uki ba'asra kemiflgi. When you derive A from B, do you apply all the details of B to the halacha A as well, or just the basic halacha of B to the halacha of A, and then the details come from within the parsha of A? So that is the question. Rabbanan savri don mina umina, that when you learn one thing from another, you apply everything from that parsha that you're learning from, and therefore mazif cheshalme yachid tunin tenufa, just like shalme yachid required tenufa la'achar shchita, savzif cheshalme tzibur tunin tenufa la'achar shchita. The basic halacha that there's a requirement of tenufa la'achar shchita, we learn shalme tzibur from shalme yachid. What about the details of what you do the tenufa on, just the chaz of a shok or the whole animal? Umina. Well, you got to look back at shalme yachid, which is the source. Mahasam chaz of a shok, avachanami chaz of a shok. By shalme yachid, it's chaz of a shok here as well. The Rebbe Sover and Rebbe disagrees. He says don mina vulki basra. He says a totally different methodology of how to derive the halacha. Yes, you learn the basic halacha from zivchei shalme yachid, but the details should be shalme tzibur details. Ma zivchei shalme yachid tuna tunu falachar shchita. Zivchei shalme tzibur tuna tunu falachar shchita. The basic halacha that you need a tenufa after the shechita directly from zivchei shalme yachid, that's fine. But then vuki basra, then you need to adapt it
to this halacha of zivchei shalmi tzibur. Hasam uduchaz v'shok avalach k'moshein b'chayim. But by zivchei shalmi tzibur, there is another time we do terufa by zivchei shalmi tzibur, and that's while the animal's still alive. And while the animal's alive, obviously we're not just waving the chaz v'shok. We're obviously waving the entire animal. So good. So over here also, we're going to wave the entire animal la'achar misa. That's a possibility number one of how to explain the machlokas. Possibility number two, how to explain the machlokas. Rav Papa Amar Dukuli Alma Don Mina Umina. That everyone would agree, Don Mina Umina, that you derive from the halacha of Zivchei Shalmei Yachid, and therefore all the details from Zivchei Shalmei Yachid should apply, and therefore Luchora should have only required Chaz V'Shok. I have a high new time at the Rebbe. The reason Rebbe says you need to do truth for the whole animal, ki hasam, because we are learning from Shalmei Yachid. Ma hasam davar shematana lekohen, af hacha davar shematana lekohen. Says you can't just look at the surface, you have to look at what's behind it. Why is it that by Zivchei Shalmei Yachid we only wave the Chaz V'Shok? We're waving every part that we give to the Kohen. By Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, all of the Basar goes to the Kohen. So we wave every part that goes to the Kohen. So we are learning it from Zivchei Shalmei Yachid, but that's how I know that you do the whole animal by the Shalmei Tzibur. And Ravina Amar Tukuli Alma, Don Mina V'Uki Basra. Ravina says, now everyone would agree, Don Mina V'Uki Basra, that you apply Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur rules to this Tanufa. Aye, so then you should have to do the whole animal, just like you do by the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur before the Shechita. V'Hayin V'Taim Ad Rabbanan, Shalmehem Ribuyahu. Now there's a special Ribuy Shalmehem that tells me that that even though normally we would say Don Minavu Uki Ba'asra, over here you still have to follow the Zivchei Shalmei Yachid rules and only do the Tnufa on the Chaz V'Shok. In the Sefer HaKrisos, he tries to be Mochiach from our Sugya, how do we paskin in Don Minavu Uki Ba'asra, Don Minavu Uki Ba'asra? Right, so we have three Lashonos. One Lashon was that it was a Machlokas between Rabbi and Lachamim. One Lashon was that everyone agrees Domino Mino. The other one is that Domino Vuki Basra. So how do you arrive at a halacha conclusion based on that? So according to the first version, he says, L'chora, you would pass him like the Rabbanan, right? So he says, really the halacha should be Don Mino Mina. Because Rav Chista or Rav Hamnuna explained that that was the Machlokas Rabbi and the Rabbanan, and we should pass them like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are the Don Mino Mino people. That Rav Papa said that, and not only that, Rav Papa said that everyone holds Don Mino Mino, that it's Kuli Alma. Ravina said that everyone holds Don Mino Vuki Basra, but it's two against one. Rav Papa and the first Shita, Rav Chista or Rav Amnuna, said would lead you to the conclusion of Domino Vuki Basra, of Domino Umina rather, and only Ravina would lead you to the conclusion of Domino Vuki Basra. So that's how we would pass him. But then he says, I'm not sure that that's correct. Because it could be that in this case we'd paskin like Ravina, because Ravina's sof hara'ah. So Ravina Ravashi, they were the end of the Talmud, so he's sof hara'ah, so we're always going to paskin like Ravina. And he said maybe that that should be how we paskin la halacha. Okay, says the Gemara further now, two dots. Rabbi Shimon omer shlosh minim tunu shalosh matzos, shalosh mitzvos rather, shtayim b'kalechad shlishis ein behen, that there are three separate karbanos that each require three mitzvos, except none of them actually require all three. Each of them only require two out of the three. It's a strange way of formulating it, because meaning you're saying that of these three mitzvos, two of the three apply to each of these three different types of karbanos. But he starts out by saying they each require shalosh mitzvos. They don't. They each require two out of the three. Ve'eluhen, zivchei shalmei yachid, v'zivchei shalmei tzibur, v'asham mitzora. And how does it break down? Zivchei shalmei yachid, which two halachos apply to zivchei shalmei yachid? To smicha, you need to, smicha's chayim, you need to do smicha on it while it's alive. Utnufa, shchutin, and you wave it while it's dead. But ve'ein ben tnufa chayim, there's no waving of it while it's alive. Zivchei shalmei tzibur, the second type of karban, tunin tnufa chayim, you wave it while it's alive, ushchutin, and you wave it while it's dead, ve'ein ben smicha, but it doesn't require smicha. Asha mitzora, third type of karban, totin smicha, requires smicha, utnufa chai, and waving while it's alive, ve'in bo tnufa shachet. But there is no tnufa while it's dead. So says the Gemara, why do only two out of the three halachas apply to each of these korbanos? I could make a kal v'chomer to argue that the third halacha should apply in each of these cases. So let's take each one kal v'chomer at a time. Number one, v'yu zivchei shalme yachid to unin tnufa chayim mikal v'chomer. I should say that zivchei shalme yachid do require tnufa when they're alive, based on the following kal v'chomer. Uma zivchei shalme tzibur she'in ton tzmich chayim tunin tnufa chayim. Zivchei shalme tzibur is more kal than zivchei shalme yachid in that it does not require smicha, and yet it still needs tenufa while it's alive. So zivchei shalme yachid shetun smicha, zivchei shalme yachid, which is more chamur, even requires smicha chayim. Eino din shetun tenufa chayim, all the more so should require tenufa chayim. Says Gemara, it's a good kal v'chomer, but miyet rachman agabe zivchei shalme tzibur osam lemutei zivchei shalme yachid. That with a special miyet by zivchei shalme tzibur that it says osam that they're the only ones that require tenufa chayim. Zivchei shalme yachid are excluded from tenufa chayim. Says the Gemara, okay, but I'll give you a different kal v'chomer about zivchei shalme tzibur. V'yu zivchei shalme tzibur tunus smicha. We should make an argument that zivchei shalme tzibur are going to require a smicha mikal v'chomer. Uma zivchei shalme yachid shein tunus tenufa chayim tunus smicha. Zivchei shalme yachid don't need to be waved while they're alive, so they're more kal in that sense, and yet they still require a smicha. Zivchei shalme tzibur shetunus tenufa chayim and adin shetunus smicha. So zivchei shalme tzibur, which does need to be waved while it's alive, all the more so should require smicha. So Amaravina, Gemiri, Shtei Smichos B'tzibur. Yeah, but we have a tradition that there's Shtei Smichos B'tzibur, and there's no other Smicha B'tzibur, meaning only the Paralim Davish Tzibur and the Sila Azazla, I think, those are the only two Smichos that you have B'tzibur. You don't have other Smichos by Korbanos Tzibur. Okay, a third Kal V'chomer. V'yei Asha Metzora Ta'un Tenufa Shachut Mikal V'chomer. The Asha Metzora should require Tenufa when it's already dead, based on the Kal V'chomer. Ma Zivchei Shalme Yachid She'in Tunu Tenufa Chayim Tunu Tenufa Shchutin. If Zivchei Shalme Yachid, which do not require Tenufa while it's alive, do require Tenufa when it's shechted, Asha Metzora She'ta'un Tenufa Chayim. An Asha Metzora that does require Tenufa when it's alive, Ein Odin She'ta'un Tenufa Shachut. All the more so should require tenufa when it's shachut. Says Gemara, miyet rachman agave zivchei shalme yachid oso lemute asha metzora. No, we have a special pasuk. Oso comes to tell me, but not an asha metzora. Tanu rabbanan. Let's say five people together bring a single carbon, right? It's a new topic, new brisa. Five people bring a single carbon. I mean, we're still on tenufa, but we finish with those three halachas. Five people bring a single carbon. Echad meinif al yidei kulam. Only one of them, even though there are five bailim on it, only one of them does tenufa for the rest of them. The isha, and when it comes to a woman, kohen meinif al yada. The kohen will do tenufa for her, which is interesting that we use that lashon meinif al yada. Brisker Rav points out lechora that's strange because a woman is not chayiv in tenufa at all. So it's not that he's doing it for her; it's just that she doesn't need it, and he's chayiv. He, the kohen, is chayiv in tenufa, but she's not. So an unusual lashon. V'chena sholech korbanosav mimedinas yam kohen meinif al yada. There it makes a little more sense that someone who's sholech korban from Medinas Yam, so he's not there, so he's not able to do the tenufa. So the kohen will do the tenufa not only mitzad the fact that he's the kohen, but also as the shliach for this person. The kohen will be meinif al yado. Very interesting that we use the same lashon for the isha and for the guy who's shalech from Medinas Yam. It seems to be two totally separate halachas, but a very important inyan that arises over here. These five people, only one of them does the tenufa. The Gemara is going to explain much later on Daf Tzadi Dalid the reason we can't have all of them do the tenufa is, and you know, as opposed to like smicha where they all do smicha on it, is because tenufa has a requirement. They can't have anything being chotzeitz between the yada bailim and the korban. And if all five of them were to do the tenufa simultaneously, they'd be touching each other's hands, and they wouldn't be directly touching the korban. That would be a violation of a chatzitza. So why don't you just take turns? Have one guy do the tenufa, then the next guy. No, tenufa velo tenufos. We already had a drasha. You don't do more than one tenufa. So if as many hands as you can get on it as once, yes, but you can't get that many hands on it. So Tosas raises the kasha. What do you mean chatzitza? One of the basic rules of chatzitza is min b'mina oino chotzeitz. So why is it that one hand under the other is a chatzitza? So the Achronim give a number of different answers, and depending on the answer, it could have serious nafkaminas la'alacha l'maisa when it comes
comes to halachas of tefillin, when it comes to halachas of tevila and chatzitza by tevila. So, for example, we have a minute. But for example, the Birkei Yosef raises many, many stiros about chatzitza by min b'mino, and he says that there's a difference between guf echad and shnei gufim. When we say la halacha min b'mino zayin chotzeitz, that's only by basar and emurim of a single animal. So that's where the Gemara in Zvachim says, if you're makriv basar kachim and emurim b'chutz, you're chayv and emurim, even though the basar is not royal aktara, and it's chotzeitz between the emurim and the ma'aracha, because min b'mino eino chotzeitz. You don't say it's chotzeitz because min b'mino eino chotzeitz. But two separate bodies, two separate people, that's going to be a chatzitza, even though they're both basar, they're both people's hands, but it's going to be a chatzitza. So based on that, he says we have a makar for what it says in Shulchan Aruch when it comes to the kisei arosh, when it comes to a yarmulke, when you mention Shem Hashem, that a nachas hayad al arosh is not considered a kisei arosh. You're not yotzei. Why? Because he points out. But if someone else puts their hand on your head, that is going to work, because just shnei gufim is a chatzitza, which means it's a foreign substance. So when someone else's hand is on your head, that's a foreign item that's on your head, so you're covering your head. When it's your own hand on your head, it's all guf echad, so it's not going to work. Mishavur, by the way, writes that b'shasad chak, you can rely on your own hand on your head. How do you define a shasad chak? Since you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thirsty and you can't find your yarmulke. That's enough of a shasad chak to put your own hand on your head. But still, we recommend getting someone else's hand on your head, or a yarmulke is probably even better. Okay.